How many of you guys have filed your taxes? Anybody not filed your taxes? Anybody waiting until tomorrow to get that in? Evidently, you have until the 18th to get that in. So one of the things that are on our taxes, and one of the things that I love about taxes are dependents. Dependents. I just watched a whole bunch of dependents walk out of here. Do you guys see them? Those are like $1,000 signs, just walking out, right? Until you get a certain number, then they cut you off. But anyhow, so you know, and basically the priority, or what the government says, if someone that you cared for 100% of their care for over 6 months, they could be claimed as a dependent. All right, so they had to be in your household, and you had to care for them for over half of the year. But in most cases, isn't it 100% of the year? Most of the time, you know, if they're with you, that we have cared for them for 100% of the year. Then, you know, there's divorces, and sometimes that gets, you know, you claim them 1 year, they claim them the next year, whatever. Anyway, but they're all dependents, right? They are dependent upon us or someone, all right? In today's scripture, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And I didn't have a title for the sermon, and I rarely do, and I can't think of anything witty, but this morning it hit me, so I'm going to title this sermon, How Many Dependents? Today's going to be How Many Dependents? And I like putting that number 5 in there. I like that. 5 dependents. You get to claim yourself as a dependent. All right? So how many dependents? We're going to be in Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. But before we do, I just want to ask you, can you remember a time when you depended on someone totally? 100% of the time, or 100% for something. Can you remember a time when you absolutely had to have this person to survive? Or to get somewhere, or to accomplish a task or a goal? Does anyone like to be in that area where you have to depend on anyone else? Okay, that's one of my weaker suits. I like to be a little bit more independent than most. I like to be able to do it myself because I have been let down. Anybody in here been let down by someone? I'll raise my hands for you. I know you have. I know you have. And you know that feeling. You know what it's like to be, you know, you needed someone to be there and they weren't there. Or you needed someone to do a task or a goal and they weren't there. So then you're left with, how am I going to get this done? I'll tell you just a little bit of an illustration. You guys know that Charity's dad has been kind of battling a whole bunch of illness, and he's had a bunch of surgeries. And he was at this point where he was in a wheelchair, right? And he was completely dependent on my mother-in-law. If you've ever met her, sweet lady, shorter than me and not near as many muscles, okay? And he is a large man, 6'5 or so. You know, just a bigger guy. And he has this, so because of his size, he had to have a bigger wheelchair. Well, he could wheel to the car and get in, but then it was up to her to collapse said wheelchair and get it into the vehicle and then drive him to wherever it was that he needed to go. Every doctor's appointment, any dialysis, anything that needed to be done, unload said wheelchair, get it out, put it in there. Can you imagine? I was there, I witnessed, this was fun. The frustration that went along when schedules conflicted. He had to be somewhere, he had to go, but he depended on her to take him because he couldn't physically do it. Not only was that humbling for him, but it was also frustrating. And it was frustrating for her because she just wished that he could just do it, you know, because he'd done this all the time by himself. And then now all of a sudden, he needed her in a different way. He was dependent on her. And I know that, okay, so now he's not as dependent on her, and he's getting a little bit more freedom back. He's on a walker, and I saw him yesterday. He's doing better than I expected. You know, he just had another foot surgery, but and he was driving, and that's good. So he doesn't have to be completely physically dependent on someone else in that realm. But today I want to look at someone that was. So we're going to start at chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm just going to read all of it. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from them, from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So one day, Peter and John, they're walking, they're going to the temple, and there's a man that's being carried by his friends. This man is completely dependent on his friends. And they carry him every single day and put him next to the temple gate. Why? Because the people that come there probably have a little bit of money in their pockets. Okay? So that's how the man made his living. So he was dependent on his friends, right, to get him there, to physically bring him to the gate. And then he was dependent upon the people that were coming into the temple for money. Can you imagine what it would be like if his friends didn't bring him there? Can you imagine what it would be like if he was like, you know, let's fast forward to modern times. He texts them, "Hey, I'll be ready at 9. And the friends are like, "Can't make it. Best of luck to you." What would it be like for him? Because he's completely dependent upon them to do something for him. He can't get up and walk on his own. He can't do it. They have to carry him to the temple gates. And they do. Every single day. Those are friends, y'all. What a burden they're carrying for him. Physically and emotionally. What a burden they have to carry for him. So they get him to the gate, and every day, you know, I can imagine he's sitting there and he's like, "Hey, you got any change? Got any money?" You guys remember in the temple courts, they were there was money changers, so there was a lot of money coming in and out of the temples. And, you know, he's like, "Hey, can you spare a dollar? Real hungry." So just picture nowadays, there's a man at the exit and he's got a sign, "Homeless and hungry" is what it says, right? I'm a bleeding heart, y'all. If I got money, I'm giving it to him. I'm not even going to ask him any questions. I'm just, "Here you go. I don't care what you do with it. It's between you and God. Just, you know what I mean?" And luckily God gave me a little bit of a counterbalance. You know, some people will be in my life at that time like, "You think you ought to give that guy money? I don't know. He asked for it. Right? What's he going to do with it? I don't care." Anyhow, so he's completely dependent on that, and he's completely dependent on the goodwill of the passerbys, the people that are coming into the temple. I don't know. Do you think it's the same person every day? It's like, look, it's the guy. Do they do the pat down? "Oh, man, I don't. Not today." You know, the somebody asks you for money, what's the first thing you do? "Oh, I didn't hear anything jingle." "Nope, sure don't. Sure don't have any money. Sorry." But is it the same person that gives to them each day? Or is it people that are new faces coming in and out? You know, does he come in at a different time? So many questions I have about this man, and I've never met him. But anyhow, so luckily, this day, Peter and John are walking by. And they're minding their own business, and, you know, they're just going to, I think they're going to pass him by, if I'm honest with you. I think they're just going to walk on by. I don't know what they were talking about. Let's say they were talking about Jesus. And they're walking to the temple. They're all excited. They're like, "I'm fired up. Hey, we're going to get some new souls here today. They're going to learn about Jesus." And this man says, "Hey, you spare any change?" He's like, "Silver or gold I do not have." Right? But he says, "Look at me." And he looks at them. And so he gets their complete attention. He says, "I don't have what you're looking for at all. I cannot meet the need that you are trying to have met at this time." Right? "I can't give you silver or gold because I don't have it. I can't give you what I don't have. But then, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." There's just a period there. Again, I'm not a Bible translator. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You know, you ever get stuck reading your Bible and you're like, then Peter said, silver, gold, you know, have it. What I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, walk. Take him by the right hand, help him. He just said walk to a guy that can't walk. That's nonsense. Why would he do that? I don't have any silver or gold, but you know what? Jesus said, you can walk. And he grabs him. He bends down and grabs him. I want you to see that. He didn't just say something. There's an action involved with his thought or with his words. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Now let me help you stand up. Okay? That transitional period is very, very important, not just in this man's life, but in our lives. Because there is a time when someone's going to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are clean. Or you do not have this burden anymore. Walk. And if I've never walked before, I'm going to say, how? How am I going to walk? And he didn't even give him time. He just reached down and grabbed his hand and picked him up and walked with him. See, the man was completely dependent on his friends and the passerbys. And Peter and John were completely dependent on Jesus Christ. And what they had was their dependence, right? What they gave was their dependence on Jesus. And they said to this man, walk. And they reached down and helped him get up. And he walked. And he walked. This man who's never walked before in his life. This man who has been carried everywhere he's ever been by someone. It says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet. This man has never walked before and he is now jumping. He jumped to his feet. Y'all aren't excited. I'm excited. He jumped to his feet. He's never walked before and now he's jumping. That's our God. That's our Jesus. That's what happens when you can be dependent on Him. When you take your dependence off of other people and put it in Jesus, you can jump. You can walk. You can run. Even if you've never done it before in your life, you can do it today. You could have done it yesterday. I hope you do it tomorrow. Just like Paul was saying, you know, every day is a gift. And just be glad in the day that we have. I get so caught up with, I like my 3-year plan. I'm a 3-year guy. Anything much over 3 years, it's blurry. But I like to have maybe 18 months. Give me 18 months. Let me see kind of where we're going. This guy's life was monotonous. Every day was probably the same. Wake up. I'm going to go to the gate and I'm going to sit there until somebody else comes and picks me up and I can go home. This day was different. This day was different because he encountered two people that were faithful followers of Jesus. This day is different for so many people in our community because they will encounter faithful followers of Jesus. I would tell you, I would encourage you to tell them they can walk. Even though they've never done it before. You know your Christian faith is often referred to as a walk. It's not ever been called a run. It's a walk. And with Jesus you're walking, side by side, hand in hand, if you will. And I pray that you are that Peter or that John for someone today. I pray that you are able to reach down and help them up. You're able to reach down and help someone up. Yeah, you're standing right now, but one day you'll be sitting. And you're going to be completely dependent on someone else's faith to be able to help pick you up and help walk with you. I want to read you the end here. After he jumped to his feet and began to walk, then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who'd been sitting and begging at the temple gates called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When someone reached down and picked me up and walked with me, everyone was amazed. at the transformation. Everyone was amazed at, I know that guy, and that's not him. Right? They knew him as his old self, as the one that was sitting there begging. But now he is jumping and praising God and running. He is completely changed by one interaction in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come down from heaven. Jesus didn't come down to pick this man up. There wasn't an angel. There wasn't this big boom. It was two guys just walking. Miracles happen every single day, and you are a part of them even when you don't recognize it. I bet Peter and John were like, man, you know how many people I've healed? Put you on the tally mark, you know? But to him, it was life-changing. To them, it might have been every day. You know, because Jesus sent them out healing and preaching and all kinds of stuff. There had to have been times where Peter was like, whatever. And I want to talk about that for a second. How did Peter know he could do that? He was dependent. He was dependent. How funny would it have been if Peter was like, gold and silver, I don't have you, but I will give you Jesus. Walk. And the guy's like, and he couldn't walk. Peter would look silly. But Peter knew that it was within God's will. Peter was so in touch with his God, our God, and Jesus, to know that it was his will for that man to walk. And can I tell you that it is his will right now for us to walk with each other. It's his will for us to walk with others, the lost. And when we do that, it looks a little bit different than when we're walking with each other, doesn't it? They talk different. They act a little bit different. I don't care. It's the same Jesus. Same God. He loves them the same as us. He didn't love that man any different than he loved Peter and John. He didn't. And I want to read 11. I didn't put this on the screen, but I want to read 11. It says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. They were, the man was clinging to Peter and to John. I want to say in amazement. I want to say in excitement. He was on fire. He was sitting there 10 minutes ago. Now he was standing, running, jumping in the temple courts on the Colonnade, where he's probably never been. He probably hasn't been past the gate. They don't bring the beggars in. They just leave them at the gate. We don't bring beggars in here. We leave them at the door, right? No. Not anymore. If it was ever like that, not today. We bring them in. Why? They need what we got. And what we have is free. We can give you everything for free. It doesn't cost you anything. It costs you just a few minutes of your time and maybe some words. And maybe just a little bit of love. Maybe just a little bit of encouragement. Peter and John could have done the pat down, the, oh, sorry, man, maybe next time. And walked on past them. They recognized his need. They recognized his complete dependence. And they also recognized his lack of dependence on Jesus. And that's what he gave them, wasn't it? He could have gave them money. I'm sure that he could have went inside and found some money and taken it back to the beggar. But is that what the beggar needed or what the beggar wanted? See, the beggar probably wanted money and who knows what he was going to do with it. But what he needed was Jesus. So sometimes you're able to give both, Jesus and money. Other times you're able to just give Jesus. Just don't leave Jesus out. Don't just give the money and walk on. See, it's so simple. In churches, sometimes we get caught up in this. A lot of times there will be this need or this mission, I guess you could call it. And we're like, oh, hey, let's put $200 that way. And yeah, they need our money, but they also need Jesus. They need to see our love and our encouragement. They might want the money, but more often they need the relationship. More often they need us. So I would tell you that this man left there changed, and his dependence was changed. These his friends could no longer claim him as a deduction, right? They were no longer his complete caretakers anymore. He found a new caretaker, and that was Jesus Christ. We need to find that faith. We need to find the ability to completely trust in him. Anybody in here have any bills? Anybody in here look at a checkbook like, yeah, that ain't happening. You know, you got like, okay, there's electric bill, there's a water bill. Oh, I'm going to need a mortgage. And you're juggling. And while the balls are in the air, you just hope they don't fall all at the same time, right? Can I tell you, when you throw them up, just leave them up there. Just leave it up there. Just leave it up in the air. Because when you throw your hands up, what are you doing? You're saying, God, these are yours. I mean, they're mine, but I need you. And if you are able to do that, he will be faithful. He will be able to bless you in ways you can't even imagine. I've told you before, I've told you 100 times, I've seen people put their last $5 in the offering plate and it'd be in the middle of the month and still make it. Why did they do that? Because they trusted that God would get them through. They had that faith. They were dependent on him. Completely dependent, sorry. My kids are trying to get me sick. We share at our house. Sometimes stuff you don't want to share. But our dependence can be on other things, can't it? See, the question is how many dependents? And I don't mean how many people are dependent on you. How many things are you dependent on? How many people are so dependent on their job that they can't do anything else? How many people are so dependent on their habits that they can't do anything else? You know, how many people are so dependent on their lifestyle that they can't make it back to Jesus? That they've walked so far away that they can't find their way back? You know, some of us it's really, really hard to give up what we're dependent on, to give our hearts to Jesus. Because see, we like our dependence. We like being in control, don't we? I told you I'm an 18 months to 3 year guy. I like that control. I like knowing what's going to happen. And then my wife told me yesterday, she goes, I don't even plan anymore. It's stupid. Like, I don't even make plans anymore. He just laughs at me anyway, so I'm done with it. Like, yeah, but I need to know if X, Y, and... Can I just get an outline of what I was asking for? I just want a brief outline of what you would expect in 18 months to 3 years to happen. And she's like, I don't even know. I'm not having this conversation with you anymore. And I was getting frustrated with her. So I'm like, I want to know. She's like, I'm not talking to you. And she's just like giving me the look, and I just won't look at her. She's like, I don't know the answer to your question, so quit asking me, is basically what it is. And then I was like, all right, fine. I let it go. And I prayed, and basically the answer I got was, whatever. You ever get that from God? Hey, God, should I do this? I don't know. How dependent on me are you? I think that's what he's asking me. How much do you depend on me? And I would ask you that. How much do you depend on him for your needs? I'm not telling you, please don't say, Nathan said, quit my job because God will pay my bills. Nathan didn't say that. God has given you unique abilities and capabilities to put those into action. God does not want you to be lazy. God wants you to work. Okay? God wants you to provide. He will give you the skill set and the capabilities. Use them, right? Don't abuse them. All right, what else? I went down a path I wasn't supposed to go down. I got lost. No. Peter and John kind of, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, Peter and John do a whole lot of stuff. And I think we're just going to keep going until God says stop. They're getting ready to get in a little bit of trouble. I'll give you a spoiler alert because I don't think I'm going to cover it. So after all this happens, right, you know, the beggar's holding on to them and everybody's running to them. The temple officials are coming and they want to know, what are you doing? Why is this guy walking? And how did that happen? And they're like, oh, hey, you know, remember that Jesus? You crucified him. Even though Pontius Pilate was going to let him go, you decided, nah, we're going to kill him anyway. Remember that guy? Well, in his name, I healed him. Right? And you didn't say Jesus' name in the temple, especially to these guys. You know, it was Caiaphas and Annas and just the bigger wigs. Okay, the big guys were there. You didn't say Jesus' name to these people. So what they do, they got mad. You know what they did after that? They put him in jail. They said, I can't, it's nighttime now. I'm not dealing with you right now. I'm going to put you in jail. Right? These guys went to jail for Jesus. These guys, they... And then we'll pick up and we'll see what happens next week. But these guys, their faith never wavers. It never shakes. They never are sitting in their jail cell. I'll just give you a spoiler alert. They're never sitting in their jail cell like, I wish I had not preached that. You know? They're not sitting there thinking, man, where are you at now, God? Because they know he is right there with them because they were in the right. If we know we are in the right and we are following his will, do it. No matter the earthly consequences. No matter the outside pressure. You think it was a popular thing to heal that beggar? Some people it was. But the ones that they had to answer to, that was not popular at all. That was not popular at all. But it didn't stop them. Now, I didn't hear Peter hesitate at all. Well, come here. Hey, if you want to walk, let's go over here. Yeah, he says, I don't even got no gold or silver. Well, get up. Let's go in here. He did. So today, here's the wrap up. I talked about a bunch. Here's the conclusion. Find out who and or what you are dependent on, and if that is not God, figure out why and how to change that. Okay? Here's your homework. I'm a teacher. Here's your homework. Number two, find out who you can reach out to. And I don't mean like, hey, you want to come to church? I just mean, if someone is down, who can you reach out to and help up? Okay? Who can you reach out to help up? Who can you show love to? Okay? And then finally, don't ever be afraid to do what's right. No matter the earthly consequences. God has given you... I won't do too much Bible college here on you. God has given you some morals, and everyone is born with them. And ethics. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. Do what's right. No matter what. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your example. I thank you for Peter and John just not being afraid. Not being afraid of any consequences at all, but knowing that they were going to follow your example. Jesus, I know if you were walking there, you would have took the time and healed the man too. I thank you for that power. I thank you for that faith. I pray we can glean some wisdom from this faith and that we can apply it to our lives. I thank you for those that have reached out to us. And I thank you for those that we need to reach out to. I pray we do it in love. I thank you for your word and your example. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to have the praise team come up. We're going to have the elders come up. We're going to be standing up here in front of you, and we're reaching out to you. We're going to be standing here available for you to pray with. We're making ourselves available for whatever it is, whatever you need prayer for. If it's salvation, if it's finances, if it's relationships, it doesn't matter. There's no judgment. We're here for you. So the praise team is going to sing another song, and we'll be down front. So if you would stand and sing the song with us.